This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 89. Now we're starting the Daniel Craig Bond era all the way up to the No Time to Die in October 8th, I believe. Ooh. That's the time. But I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Casino Royale from 2006?
Okay, so I've seen Casino Royale a few times. I saw this in the theater, 2006. And then I bought it on widescreen DVD. I specifically remember I went to Circuit City. They had a full screen version and a widescreen version. I bought my widescreen DVD. Then I upgraded to Blu-ray around 2009-ish because it was an early Blu-ray. And then I haven't watched it in, I would say, at least 6 or 7 years. I've seen it maybe 4 or 5 times. So this is my first rewatch in a little while.
Yeah, I always buy like the whatever edition of it. I just buy any of the Bonds.
I just specifically remember getting this one. Widescreen DVD.
Yeah, no, the crazy thing with this one, I haven't seen this one in a while. Like, I don't like to do as much rewatching of the Bond movies because I don't want to get tired of them. So this one I haven't seen like within like 2 or 3 years. So it was due for a watch, and I thought it came in a great time before the new movie dropped. No Time to Die. So with that said, we're adding a new category. Now this does not add on to the new categories that we do to rate the movies. We're going to be adding opening title sequence. Now we're going to talk about the name of the song. What we thought about the visuals and if the song is actually pretty good.
And the artist.
And the artist, yeah. Film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to start it off with that. But okay, of course, for those of you that are new to the channel, we do box office numbers, Rotten Tomato scores, and then right into our movie reviews. So with that said, let's start off with the box office numbers. So with that said, Casino Royale 2006 domestic was at a $167,445,000. And then that international was $449 million. Worldwide, $616 million.
Bond is he's an international man of mystery like Austin Powers. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is from, he's not an American character. So it's going to play well overseas, and rightly so. It made a lot of money here, and it did well. It's great. It was a big hit. Makes sense.
Yeah, and then, of course, the crazy thing is the budget. What's the budget, Alex? Well, the budget was $150
million. Doesn't matter when you make $600 and something. That's pretty good.
$660 million. No, you're absolutely right. But let's check out what the audience and the critics have to say with the Rotten Tomato scores. Nate?
Well, you know what? When you hear these Rotten Tomato scores and then you hear Alex's box office total, you're saying, this makes a lot of sense. So critically, it has a 94%. And it is actually, spoiler alert, it is the highest rated of the Craig movies so far. We don't know the new one yet, but this one has the highest critic score, 94%. Audience score, 89. So most everyone likes this movie that has seen it. You know, I don't think any of the Brosnan movies had scores this high as far as critics, or I think GoldenEye had a high, but 89 from audiences is very high. So yeah, it's critically acclaimed and financially successful. Can't ask for more.
Yeah, so look, again, in this channel, we're going to throw out all those critic scores, we're going to throw out all those audience scores, and we're going to give you guys our scores and movie reviews on the show, because that's what matters here on the Action Movie Guys Podcast. But let's start off with the newest category, only for the Bond franchise. We're going to be starting off with the opening title sequence. We're going to give it a 1 through 5. Nate, take it over with the opening title sequence.
Okay, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time. This is a quick, quick hit new version. So one song, Chris Cornell is the singer. You Know My Name is the name of the song. All right, I'm scoring the whole thing, right? Yeah. Choice of singer, song, and sequence. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I think the choice is great. Chris Cornell is a great vocalist. He comes more from the rock world, Soundgarden, Audioslave, but he got pipes. He could sing. He's a really good singer. So great choice. Got a nice kind of gritty voice. The credit sequence itself. Oh, the song is great, by the way. It's a great song. It's like when it starts, I was like, oh man, I remember seeing the theater. I was like, oh, I like this song. And it's very memorable. Like, after it's over, you could still kind of remember how it goes, you know? I do love the song. The only reason it kind of comes down a little bit is actually the credit sequence. I think it's just okay. I've seen better. Even the Brosnan ones had some better, like, actual sequences. I do like when they have real people in them. And this was all, like, cut out, like, paper animated cutouts kind of. And I get it. They were supposed to look like cards. But I think they leaned way too heavy into the card theme. So while it was cool and it was animated well, it wasn't the best. But the song is great. Singer's great. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I gave it a 4 out of 5 also. And it was the same nitpick, too. To me, I never understood why they went with that card title animation. Because if you watch all the old Bond movies, they all have naked women in it. And they're just covered in color or whatever the movie based is.
The Blu-ray menu has naked women on it.
Yeah. So basically, those of you that do not know out there, all the females that you see in a Bond opening sequence are nude. It's just, that's the way it is. But in this one, they did not do it. They show Daniel Craig. They show Eva Green. They show everybody that's in Lachif. They show everybody inside.
Made out of paper.
Yeah, made out of paper cards. But look, with that said, that's my only nitpick. Also, I agree with you, Chris Cornell. It is amazing. The song is awesome also. And it has like a cool vibe to it from the older Bond movies that have like that spy twist to it. This one was a more dirty rock mixed with spy, because it does have that spy element in it. So it's just all in one. I loved it. I thought it was great. Look, 4 out of 5, 2 4 out of 5s with that. But let's start off our main movie review with lead character Daniel Craig as Mr. James Bond. Let's go.
Daniel Craig. So this is, I will say, this is my James Bond. You know, everybody says like my James Bond is this guy, and this one has to be mine, because when we did Pierce Brosnan, I had only really seen GoldenEye and the third one years ago. I didn't even see the other two really. Like, I didn't watch them. I didn't grow up watching them. Craig, from him on, I saw every single one of his movies in the theater. So he's like the one I know best. That doesn't factor into my score. I'm just giving you some background. I give him a 5. He's great in the role. Daniel Craig himself, great in the role. Absolutely fantastic. I love this portrayal of Bond. If every other Bond is a scalpel, Daniel Craig is like a jackhammer, as opposed to them. They're very smooth. They're very spy-y, you know. This dude's running through walls. He's like, he is not a, you know, M says it in a line in the movie. He's a blunt instrument. He is not your typical, what you've come to see from Bond. And I think it's a welcome change. He is still those things. He's still smooth. He's great looking. Gets the ladies. But he is kind of a beast in this movie, and I appreciate it. So yeah, I love him. He did great in the action scenes. He's believable. He's just kind of a little monster Bond, and I'm here for it. So yeah, I love him. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, look, when it comes to James Bond, I totally agree with you. I give him a 5, and it's weird because when Nate has not seen the other Bond movies, the older ones, so we're going through the eras as much as we can, because we're not going to go through all 25. I know there's people that do that. We're not doing that. We're breaking them in blocks. So he has not seen the others. To me, the other Bond that has the variation to this one, similarity, is Timothy Dalton. He was more darker in the License to Kill movie. He was very dark. I'm not going to tell you why, because that's something that you've never seen. So, that one is a very dark Bond, pissed off Bond. You'll know why.
Ooh, that's what
but
like.
This one, he is a very pissed off Bond. And what I like about this that we never got to see in the other movies is that he got his License to Kill. This is a 007 movie that he starts off the movie. How he got his license to, like, his first kill, I believe it's his second or third kill.
His first two kills.
Yeah, his first two kills. And that is, to me, what drew a lot of people and myself into the movie, is that you got to see him get his license to kill. And he's not the Bond that you knew from any other movies. This guy is a brand new Bond. He's very charismatic, like you said, very dramatic, very cold-blooded killer. Like, this guy's a cold-blooded killer. Like, he kills someone, and he's drinking martinis and eating like if nothing ever happened. And I like that. He falls in love. His armor starts to rip apart. And I think that's where more of the conflict is. But that's more storyline. In terms of Daniel Craig, I think he embodied Bond. At first, I did not like him. I agree. I was like, this dude is not Bond. He doesn't even look good. From the Pierce Brosnan era, that guy is Bond. Like, everyone sees he's cute, handsome, whatever you want to call it. He grew on me. And I'm loving him. So with that said, I gave him a 5. Main villain, Lachif.
All right. So here's where I don't know. I know Alex is a Bond fanatic. Right. I'm not. So I think this is going to be good review for everybody, because maybe you're more like me, who's like seen him, a few of them. And Alex is a professional Bond watcher. He knows crap I don't even know, to be honest with you. I don't know Easter eggs. I don't know nothing. I just watch him. All that being said, the villain. So why I said all that is I think we might start to split off a little bit on some stuff. To me, this villain's, from what I remember, I thought he was a great villain. Okay, Lachif.
Yep.
Watching it this time, I don't think he's a great villain. I think Mads Mikkelsen is a great actor. I think his performance is great. He looks like an amazing villain. The tear of blood, you know, the crusty old eye, just the way he carries himself, amazing. But when you really boil it down, when I really boiled it down, and I said, what is Lashif? He's an accountant, okay? He is an accountant to criminal syndicates and things like that, right? Warlords. And so he's not a boss character. He's not a real, like, leader of any sort. He works for other people, and he just works for really bad people. He doesn't fight. The only time he gets physical is when Bond is tied up by a bunch of other tougher guys, right? And he's hitting him in the balls with that rope. So I do think he is a good villain. And I, you know what? I would dare say it was a good choice to have a villain like this for Craig's first outing. I don't think you start off with the best villain you could possibly get, and, you know, because then it's going to go downhill. So as a building block, he's good. I give him a 3.5. I just don't think he's amazing. I think the performance is very good, but I think it was a smart move to have a villain like this to start with and then kind of work your way up for,
yeah,
lack of a better term.
It's the way you view the movie, right? Again, you're not a Bond fanatic and all this stuff. So you haven't seen all the villains that he come across in all the other movies, right? I gave Lashif a 4. And the reason, it's very close, a half a point up. And the reason why is because Lashif was a new character. He's not, it's not like they remade like Blofeld that we see later down the road.
Yeah.
But this is a brand new character, Lashif. And I loved it because you're right. He's not the villain, right? Because this is the first time in a movie that the villain gets killed. Like, they kill him.
Yeah.
So you're not like, holy crap.
At all.
Yeah. So that's the thing I like about this character, because he was afraid. Like, he was like, give me the money. Like, there's nothing that, like, I need this money. Like, he knew he was working for someone higher up, but we can't give you guys that because that's later down in the movies that we're going to be watching why he was so scared. But you got Mr. White. We couldn't give you Mr. White because Mr. White is just a henchman, an assassin. Think of him like that. But Lashif is the main villain in this, and I liked him. I thought he was really good. He was very angry when he gets angry. I love the poker scene because that's where you got to see how diabolical he was, right? Like, he lost $101 million and he had to come up in a way to come up with this money. And he had governments all to play poker. He knew he was going to win, right? Like, he put this together so he could win. But of course, he had no match to Bond. But again, I thought for me, Lashif as a villain, I thought he was good. And you're right. It's not a mastermind, but it's a cool semi-mastermind villain, if you know what I mean. Like, he was a mastermind. If you really think about it, he was ahead of everybody because he was the accountant. No one messed with this guy.
Except them African dudes when they broke in his...
yes, the Freedom Fighters.
And he still just went on the floor like a punk.
That's right. So, so with that said, and again, you get to see his weakness, though, right? Like, he's not that tough when he's by himself. So, like, it was cool. You gave it a 3. I gave it a 3. I'm sorry. You gave it a 3.5. I gave it a 4. All right. Action sequence.
Okay, so I wrestled with this one as well. I gave it a 4.5. Almost a 5. And it would have gotten a 5 if... So the opening... Everyone knows Casino Royale for the parkour scene at the beginning with the bomb maker guy. Okay? That alone, that scene is probably like a 5 out of 5 executed action scene. It's thrilling. You got parkour. It's kind of scary. When them dudes are dangling up on that like construction equipment, it literally looks like they're going to fall off and die at any moment. It's incredible, right? And then after that, it kind of slows down a little bit. You get some more story, right? Then you have the scene in the airport. It's okay. It's a little bit more standard, right? The first action scene is a standout. The second one is a little more standard. And then from there, they're just kind of like, to me, they got less good as the movie went on. They blew their load on that first one, in my opinion. What should have been the biggest, best one should be the finale. They started with it. And in a way, that's great because it gets you hyped for the rest of the movie. But in another way, it kind of is a letdown because then nothing else matches up to it. Imagine if that was your first one and then the next one is like better. And then if it would have went purely upward, this would have been a 5 out of 5 for me. And even with all I just said, I still gave it a 4.5 because the action is that good. The action's very well executed, very well shot. You said the budget was $150 million.
Yeah.
I believe it. It looks like it was $150 million. Everything looks great. There's no CGI. If there is, you can't tell. You know what I mean? Everything looks real. They freaking bury a whole house in Venice. But the rest of it after the parkour scene is just kind of a few hand-to-hands and then some shooting. But it's very good. 4.5.
Yeah. All right. So this is where I think a lot of my Bond fans are going to be like, Alex, how dare you? One thing we always preach here in the Action Movie Guys is quantity over quality. And the one thing I cannot go all crazy is, because this is my favorite franchise, I can't indulge and just give fives all over the place. Like, I just can't. This movie was more of a drama than action. This is more of a storytelling. Like, this is the first movie, and they went straight character developing through everybody, which I love. I mean, let me just tell you, I love it. They put second action, which I was like, you know what? For this movie, absolutely. Because, you know, the Pierce Bronson GoldenEye, that was straight action, like galore, right? Because me and you reviewed it.
World is not enough. Remember that?
That one's pure action.
Stop action scenes.
Yeah, so with this one, it worked. And now what I will say is I gave it a 4.5. I agree with you. We did get the beginning sequence, which is one of my favorites, black and white, him fighting in the bathroom, very rugged. Right. Very brutal. I wish the entire movie was black and white. I'll just tell you that right now. Because I was like, oh my God, I love black and white. And it was awesome, right?
That would have been cool, yeah.
So we got that sequence. Then, of course, you got the parkour, which, of course, like you said, everyone loves that scene. I loved it, too, because it's brute versus an agility. Because the guy was just walking through everything. The guy's going through holes, and Bond is going through walls. The guy is bouncing all over the place, and Bond is just breaking stuff.
Driving
to go
trucks.
Driving trucks. Yeah. So, and then he goes into the embassy, and then he blows all that up to escape. So that is awesome. Then you get into the car, the Aston Martin, when he's racing to get Eva Green, and then he flips the damn car over, and my heart cried, because I was like, that car was so sexy. I would have just ran her over. But then you got the ending, which I know a lot of people do not like the ending. I love the ending sequence. When Bond is there shooting up, the whole house is coming down, and it shows you that the adrenaline of action sequences does not have to be 20,000 bullets going everywhere. It's basically a house is going underwater, and Bond, first of all, is trying to save Eva Green, his character, a Vesper, and he's trying to fight these guys off and to get the money. So it's like, wow, there's a lot of elements coming down in this one scene, and I thought it was amazing. It did not look CGI. It looked like wherever they shot it was amazing, because that house is just coming down, and I was like, and the music was crazy in that scene. Look, with that said, 4.5, I have to give it. It would have been a perfect if they added more action to it. But you know what? Regardless that I gave it a 4.5, I think this was a perfect amount of action for this story that we got.
I agree.
I don't know if you understand what I mean, right?
No, I agree with you. I don't think it has, it's not tons of action. It has enough to keep you satisfied, but it's so well done that you got to respect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
All right, here we go. The meat of this movie, storyline.
Five for the storyline. Look, this is an origin story done perfectly well. Perfectly well. This is a Bond origin movie. The black and white, you know what? Now that you mention it, I wish the whole thing was in black and white. I never even really thought about it. I was like, okay, that's like, it's in black and white because it's right before the actual story. But if it wasn't that, and that style of black and white, very grainy, it looked awesome. It looked super cool. That would have been sweet. But either way, you get a little origin, right? Oh, here's how Bond got his license. You don't need too much. You just need a little bit. That was enough. Once he gets in there, he's going on missions, you see. He's capable of screwing things up. M was not happy. He's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, he just does everything perfect. And no, he pretty much screws it all up. And M is like, I literally hate you. Don't break in my house again. And he's like, all right. And then he leaves. And he goes to the Bahamas. What does he keep doing? He keeps working. They told him, don't do it. He's like, well, I think I can figure it out. And then you just get a lot of good story. The story is really good. I will say, even though I'm giving it a 5, if I had to nitpick something, it's a very busy movie. Like, it has a lot of parts. You know what I mean? But they all tie together really well, which is why I like it. It's 2.5 hours almost, and it flies right by because everything that happens is interesting. I love the love story with him and Vesper. Yeah. Eva Green, gorgeous. That helps. But their chemistry is great. I love their banter early on when they like, you know, he obviously is attracted to her right away. And she might be, but she plays it better. Like, I hate you. You know what I mean? And I love their little banter back and forth. You kind of feel them growing to like each other, which I love. It feels very organic. I really like the love story in this. Sometimes it could be forced. You know what I mean? Didn't feel forced in this one at all. And it was a different side of Bond. Bond is always just the lady killer, right? The guy's wife in the Bahamas, he's like, I'm just gonna, and he ends up leaving, but pretty much that's the Bond you know. I'm just gonna sleep with this lady and I don't care. Here, he's like, oh, I don't wanna just do that. He was about to retire. He was a 007 for about 2 months and was about to retire for this girl, you know? And then the twists. There's a lot of twists. People you think are good are actually bad. People who are bad might be good. You don't know. You know, it's kind of vague, and I love it. I don't need everything. Leave it a little bit vague. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. It's well told. I absolutely love it. And who knew watching some guys play poker for 20 minutes could be so enthralling? The poker scene is long. Like, yeah, it's a whole like chunk of movie. And I was like, I was in it. Dude, I was like, he's bluffing. Adam, he's bluffing. Oh, man, I loved it. It's great. Yeah. 5 out of 5.
I totally agree with you. I gave it a 5. I mean, that was hands down 5. And the crazy thing about this movie, you're right. It's like a perfectly layered cake, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, Bond is the main guy, right? Like, you're going to see Bond. But the awesome thing about this movie is, for those old school Bond fans, or if you're new, you're getting introduced to this character. If you're into the series, you're getting Judi Dench back as M, right? Let's talk about Judi Dench for a second here as M. She is so good. Like, in these, every scene that she was in with Daniel Craig, they had so much good chemistry. And by the way, she had chemistry with Pierce Brosnan also. But the difference is that his character of Bond was more charismatic, more not as, like, serious Bond. He was just more comedy
goofy,
all over
there.
Yeah. So with this one, you got to see actors act. And I loved it. When she was pissed off, she goes, I want to hand you over to these guys with your head on a plate. I was like, you damn right you should. This dude just went into an embassy like nothing. And I was like, this is crazy. Now, you got other characters that are into the Bond series. Felix Leiter, which is Bond's best friend in all the other movies. So you're going to see, Nate, I'm not going to tell you the other movies when he gets introduced and stuff, but we're going to get to those, because that's, I think it's Sean Connery's movie when they introduce Felix Leiter into the series.
He's Jeffrey Wright in this movie.
He's Jeffrey Wright. Yeah. So that's Bond's best friend. Everyone knows that's Bond's FBI friend, CIA best friend. But you got to see him introduced. He's like, I'm bleeding chips, man. I'll stick you. Right?
That was great.
Mad cool. Yeah he got the scene. Nate beard in the movie, right?
And they're like walking in the opposite direction.
Yeah, he goes, I'm a brother from Lanley, brother.
He's Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman movie.
Yeah, he is.
He's great. Yeah.
He was like, I'm bleeding chips. He goes,
I'm going to stake you.
Yeah. I'm going to stake you. And then he goes, what is in it for you? He goes, all I would say is I'll take him in. And then he goes, what about the money? He goes, you think we need the money?
He's so American.
Yeah, he's mad American.
You can't help but be American.
Do you think we need it? But anyway, Jeffrey Wright was such a great Felix Leiter. Lashif, amazing character. He was good with Bond. I mean, they had great chemistry on screen when they were together. Eva Green, okay? Beautiful to look at. When she first sits on the train, I told my wife, it is crazy like how a camera could make a female, like you could just get attractive like that. Like, everyone's seen Eva Green, everyone sees these beautiful females or whatever, but there's something about these movies with cameras that the minute they enter a scene, you can just fall in love with them like that, without even knowing the motive or whatever the hell they are. When she sits in that train across from him, and you see those beautiful blue eyes or green eyes, you're like, whoa, and then you're right, that banter between two, that's where he fell in love with her, because he was like, wow, she's like me. Like, I finally found a female me. Like, that's when he was just in love. And it was great. I thought that was great. The storyline is just a 5. It is amazing. You guys, again, what movie do you see a whole poker scene? Regardless, we've seen it, like, thousands of times. And you still go, oh, my God, he won with a straight flush. Like, well, you knew the scenes, but your heart is throbbing. Look, and the crazy thing is the layer of how they put the villains. Lashif is the bad guy, but no way, because there's a syndicate that's running everything, because there's a Mr. White someone's telling him to do, and the ending of the movie, what happens? Bond gets him, and then, of course, it's going to lead to the next one, but again, what is that organization? And we're going to find out later down the road, and that's the cool thing about this movie. It's not about Lashif, because it's just straight up, someone is running these guys. And that's what I love. When he was going through the computer, he saw everyone's names. And she goes, oh, Lashif. And I was like, oh, this is so good. I was like, this is such a good movie. And that plane sequence was awesome, too. Yeah. I mean, it was just a great scene. Anyway, a 5 overall.
And these are the only Bond movie. Am I right that these are the only ones that all tie? Like they're all sequels to
yes,
each other.
They,
like, the other ones are all just standalone. They don't have nothing to do with the other. Like they're just individual stories. Yeah. These are the first ones that kind of flow as one big arc.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Some of the villains might go over. But it's not a flowing storyline.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Okay. Overall. So overall for me, this movie's always, and when I watched it, I thought the same thing. As much as I love the story, I think the story and Craig are amazing. Overall, it's not a 5 for me, but it's pretty close. 4.5 for me. I gave it a 4.5. It's a 9 out of 10 in my mind. And I think it's a great movie. Forget Bond. Forget if you like spies or you don't like spy movies. This is a great film with a great story. You get love story. You get gorgeous, gorgeous places. They go to the Bahamas. They go to where? Monte Carlo or something. They go, you know, they're going to like all these really beautiful places. I think what you're talking about with Eva Green, the camera loves her. And the camera loves all these places they go. It loves the cars they drive. It's gorgeous. I love it. Everything about it looks good. Sounds good. It's well acted. It's well paced. Good action. Great story. Yeah, it's not perfect for me. There is a few things I think the flow of the narrative. There's a few things I would have done a little bit different. But I mean, it is a very structured 3 acts, right? You know, you're in act 1. You know, you're in act 2. You know, you're in act 3. I like it when it kind of just doesn't feel like you don't even realize it. But either way, minor nitpick. 4.5 out of 5.
Look, I agree with you. I give it a 4.5. I don't think it's perfect. And I'll let you guys know right now, there is a perfect overall for me coming down the line.
Ooh.
I'll say that. Overall, I have a 5 out of 5. But for this
one, I think I might too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
In terms of this one, I thought it was a great beginning to a franchise. I'll just say this. Martin Campbell, which did GoldenEye, did a great job. So I don't know if they're going to helm him again for another one when the new Bond comes, which they should. Because the guy has a great track record with
the first
movie.
One for every new person.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great story for anyone that wants to get into the Bond movies. If you don't want to watch the first 20 years of Bond, just catch up from the 2006 Casino Royale. Because most likely the newest Bond that's going to come out after No Time to Die is going to be based off this version of 007, not the other one. So I don't want to go too crazy on this. But with that said, total points.
Total points comes out to a 22.5 out of 25. This is, we call that elite in my books. This is an elite film. It's great. It's a great film. Great spy movie. If you want to call it an action movie, it falls. There's action in it. So yeah, fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, look, for me, 23 out of a 25. I think this is, it's just a perfect, to me, a semi-perfect movie in the Bond world.
Perfect intro to a new Bond.
Yes.
I would say that much.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Couldn't do better.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, Nate, what is coming up this week?
Oh, boy. So this week we got, so this is Casino Royale. Later this week, we're continuing on with Disaster Month with one of our patrons who selected Volcano. We will be watching and reviewing, but we watched it already, Volcano. So we're going to be doing a little bit of Volcano action. And then we will, of course, be ranking the Mummy franchise. We always do our rankings of this other ones. Last week, we did the Mel Gibson movies. This week, ranking the Mummy franchise. I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same ones, but we'll see. You never know. And then next week, of course, Quantum of Solace, which between you and me, I don't remember anything that happened in it because I didn't like it when I saw it at the movie theater. So this is a first time rewatch since whatever year it came out. So very excited to check that one out.
Yeah, again, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or Levels of Geeks on Instagram. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel to support the channel. Hit the like button if you enjoy these reviews. Hit those notification bells so every time we drop reviews, you guys will be notified. Or if we go live on Mondays at 9 p.m. starting November 1st, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.